Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I wonder what it must have actually been like to be touched by Jesus. Nowadays, touch takes on so many different kinds of meanings, and especially now as we're living through a global pandemic, touch is very significant. No one wants our touch to spread disease to someone else, and we certainly don't want someone else's touch to infect us. So touch right now can be very fearful. But Jesus' touch was not creepy. Jesus' touch was not abusive. It didn't spread contagion, and it also wasn't fearful. Now, Jesus' touch was unlike the touch of any other person. I'm sure we've all experienced the touch that is at once warm and kind and comforting and also strong and capable. And so we hear about one example of Jesus' touch today. We hear about Jesus, who's with his disciples in a town called Capernaum off the Sea of Galilee. This is where Jesus lived. And they went to the local synagogue for Jesus to teach. And as we heard last week, Jesus was teaching the people, and they said, "What is this? A new teaching with authority?" But Jesus' touch was interrupted by a man with an unclean spirit, and so Jesus spoke to the spirit and cast it out. So after that, Jesus and his disciples left the synagogue and they went to Peter's house. That's where Jesus learned that Peter's mother-in-law was sick. She had a fever. Now, Mark's gospel moves pretty quickly through a lot of significant stories. So let's slow this one down just for a moment and take a closer look. Jesus took Peter's mother-in-law, as she was lying there sick in bed, Jesus took Peter's mother-in-law by the hand and lifted her up. That doesn't sound like anything particularly significant to me. There's no mention that Jesus was afraid of catching whatever sickness Peter's mother-in-law had. There doesn't appear to be anything really miraculous in Jesus' touch. There were no angels. Nobody was singing. And it seems like Jesus' touch was just the kind of a touch from a person who wants to comfort or to steady another person. Now, I wish that we could hear from Peter's mother-in-law. We don't even know her name. And I'm guessing she had a whole lot more to tell about this story than Mark did in just a few words. He just seems to move on through that event. But it was significant to her. She certainly knew about Jesus and all the things that he had done for people. But here he was, without a big crowd, without lights or cameras, no flashy language. In fact, Jesus didn't even say anything. There was no, "Your faith has healed you." There wasn't a, "Go and wash however many times in this or that river." And yet, the fever left her and she was well. Notice that the story keeps moving. She was healed and then she just got up and began serving them. We've already heard that Jesus' fame was spreading throughout the region. We heard that people were bringing the sick to Jesus for him to heal. They were bringing the people who were possessed with demons. Now, Jesus had a decision to make here. He could have decided to stay right where he was and just have people continue to bring the sick and the demon-possessed to him. But notice that in the middle of all of this, Jesus went off by himself to a deserted place, and there he prayed. Now that prayer, the result of that prayer, helped Jesus to focus on truly what he needed to be about. And that was the message. I had a conversation this week with a friend that was totally unrelated to our readings for today, but she was talking about the importance of communication and that, of course, we can write things out. Like if we have a story to tell, for example, Bethel's story, we can write many, many words about what Bethel has done and is doing. But then there's a picture. How much more can be conveyed by a simple picture showing what Bethel does and showing Bethel's story? Jesus didn't only use words to convey his message. His actions also spoke volumes. Jesus went to the people. He was in the places where people were hurting, vulnerable, isolated. He went to the places where people made lives for themselves amongst often similarly situated people. Jesus went among the lepers, to Samaritan villages, among the poor, to the places of power and authority, both political and religious, to the good people, to the downcast. Jesus sat with the unacceptable people, the tax collectors, the prostitutes, the sinners. Jesus went to the places where people were sick and even dead. Jesus reached out and lifted up. If you look at Jesus' life, he reached out and lifted up whether a person was ultimately healed or not. In fact, it doesn't seem to me that healing was the main part of Jesus' ministry at all. The healing that Jesus did was to help people see the truth of who he is. That he's not just a teacher or a prophet or a preacher. The church season of Epiphany is about revealing Jesus for who he truly is and sharing that truth with all people, that the message is not limited. In John's gospel, Jesus tells his disciples, "I'm giving you a new commandment, love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples." In other words, don't just talk about loving people. Go and do it. Don't just write about it. Live it. Reach out to them. Get to know them and lift them up. One of the most obvious ways that we can reach out and lift up is financially. I learned just Friday that Serve, our local shelter and food pantry, that they're in need of toilet paper. It's not very glamorous, and yet it's necessary. They're often in need of things like food and pillows for the shelter. But that's a clear way to reach out and lift up because of our faith. We do this out of care and concern for our neighbor. There are many other ways that we can reach out and lift up. But some ways are actually quite tough. Most of us like to spend time with people that we like, that we enjoy. People who, the relationship with them just seems easy and it's mutually fulfilling. Do you remember those kids in school who were bullied, who were picked on? The kids that no one really wanted to hang out with out of fear that the uncoolness of those kids would be contagious. Now, bullying and an idea of a social hierarchy, that's not something that we just give up in school. Those things continue. We continue to want to be in the in crowd, or at least higher up on the social hierarchy than on the bottom. Who around you needs some kind of touch, needs some kind of connection, needs someone to reach out and lift them up? For Jesus, there's no limit to his love. He loved people regardless of their power, prestige, religiosity, sinfulness. He just loved people, period. Therefore, he reached out and he lifted up. You and I are called to follow Jesus, follow where he leads the way. We love the people who Jesus loved, and we serve the people who Jesus would serve. We love with the limitless love of Jesus as we together care for his people, as we reach out and lift up. In the name of Jesus, amen.